Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. We say hello now to John McClain, who joins us from Houston. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're good. We're just, you know, we've kind of hit that point in the season where we open the show and it's like, if you want to talk about the Titans, we'll do that, but do we really have to? We know what they are at this point. Now they're making trades and getting fifth-round picks for a guy that they spent a second-round pick for in Roger McCreary. So that's where we are today.
There's a lot of great football going on around the NFL and a lot of great football going on in college sports. I watched games all Saturday. I was at the Texans game Sunday, but I stayed till I got early, stayed late to watch the afternoon games. So I saw a lot of good ones, although – truthfully, this weekend in college football was much better than this weekend in pro football, where so many games were won by double digits, including the one I covered where the Texans beat up the 5-2 49ers pretty good. And I watched that A&M game, and number one, I hope Vanderbilt beats Texas. And but right now, after watching A&M the last few weeks, I don't know that they're not the best team in the country, even though Ohio State and Indiana would beg to differ.
Texas A&M is pretty good. Mike Elko has done a really good job there, so I'm with you on that. Going back to your game, I was watching some of the early games and then the Titans, but that one really surprised me because the way San Francisco's played and the way Houston's played, I did not see that one coming. And also Houston had some key players out of the lineup.
Well, so did the 49ers, and I picked the 49ers to win by three because what I had seen from the Texans at Seattle on Monday Night Football, where they lost by eight, not the defense but the offense, particularly the offensive line, was terrible. And C.J. Stroud was bad. Well, in this game, the offensive line played its best game of the season. Stroud completed 79% and two touchdowns, averaged 8.2 yards per completion, and he was magnificent at one interception that was thrown on the last play of the first half when a receiver made the wrong route, ran the wrong route. But I don't know. The smart guys in Vegas had the Texans favored by 1.5. And I told my wife if we were betting, I would bet 10 grand on the 49ers. And she said, well, you're never right, so we're not. Boy, I'm glad we didn't.
I'm glad you didn't either. John McClain is with us. When you look at the Titans roster, I'm going to assume we agree that Jeffrey Simmons is the one that stands out as being a player that would have the most value at the trade deadline. But they're saying that he's not on the block, they're not going to trade him, and obviously not Cam Ward. I just feel like that's bad business because Simmons is not going to, you know, I mean, he's good, obviously, but by the time this team gets good again, I think he's going to be on the backside of his career. Why not capitalize on getting something for him right now?
Well, just because they say they're not doesn't mean they won't. I mean, true. Teams lie all the time. What if somebody calls them up and gives them an offer they can't refuse? Of course they would trade Simmons. The idea is you don't tell people you're going to trade them. Then you get the offers are not as impressive. The key is to get two teams who think they're going to the Super Bowl or the playoffs who need a defensive tackle and get them bidding against each other. That's the smart way to do it. I don't know that that's what they're doing, but that would be the smart way because he's not going to serve them any purpose, I can't imagine, in 3 years. And if you trade him now, instead of like in 2 years, you're going to get more.
John, you know, Mike Tomlin was complaining a few weeks ago how the Browns traded Joe Flacco within the division. What if, and I like playing hypotheticals, what if the Texans made an offer to the Titans that was so good for Jeffrey Simmons, they could not turn that down? Could you see that happening?
Well, I think anybody makes you an offer that's too good to turn down, you'd be crazy to worry about who it is. You know, you can't worry about other teams. You got to worry about your team and what's best for your team. and you got to have the confidence in your ability to trade and not worry about can it come back and haunt you and what the fans and media would think about it.
Exactly. John, you've covered football for a long time. Can you recall what is the worst Oilers football team you ever covered? Because I think we might have that beat up here in Nashville right now.
Let's see. Before I got there, they were 1-13 2 years in a row. They were the worst team in football, back-to-back seasons. And they traded their top picks, who ended up like Tuttle Jones goes to the Cowboys with one of their picks. And of the teams that I covered, I think I told you last week, they went 5 years in a row without winning more than five games. Ugh. 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And that was a bad 5 year period. Fortunately, I was younger then, and otherwise it would have killed me. And the only thing fun was the draft, and they were real good at drafting at that point. So those were the worst teams. The ones that were the worst of all, the ones that needed a quarterback. And because until you get your quarterback, it's hopeless. Then once you get a quarterback, you got to have a coach. And the coach, the quarterback, and the general manager. Those three have to be, they have to be together on the same page. And then you build around them.
You know, John, we talk about how desirable would it be for a player to come to Nashville and, you know, and play for the Titans. But you just mentioned that right there. I mean, you now got a quarterback who's going through the fire. You got some really good young receivers. I mean, there are some foundational pieces here. If you get the right coach to come in here, I know there's only 32 head coaching jobs in the world, but I think this could be a desirable job because you've got some pieces, have you just alluded to, that are here that you can work for and work with.
A lot of guys who have multiple offers are looking for, number one, will they spend money? Yeah, they spend money. Do they have a quarterback? Yes, we believe they have a quarterback. And do you have a general manager you can work with and you think you can be on the same page with? In this case, you got to be on page with same page with the GM and then Brinker as well. So, and the fact that it's Nashville, everybody loves Nashville. It's not hard to get a wife and kids to want to come to Nashville. And so there's a lot of things working in their favor. I haven't looked to see, but will they have a lot of salary cap room available when the new league year begins in March?
I believe so. I'm pulling that up right now. But I think they're pretty good in that sense.
Well, that's good for getting free agents. You know, the this past off season, one of the reasons Mike Vrabel wanted that job is he liked Drake May as the quarterback. He knew the crafts, and so he took it because they had the most money to spend compared to any team in the league.
According to Over the Cap, they would have almost $113
million. Woo!
Ooh, that's a lot of free agents.
Yep. So, and look, I mean, they could have more because you could have some cuts that, you know, your dead cap wouldn't be too much. So they could certainly look at doing some of those things. We will have more with John McClain coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday, continuing our conversation with John McClain down there in Houston. John, I don't know if you saw the report over the weekend Diana Rossini had that, and I think this is a little bit of Jimmy Sexton doing his job, but that Steve Sarkisian would be interested in NFL jobs, including the Tennessee Titans. I think he's got a good deal there at Texas, but could Sark work in the NFL?
I did see that. And as I mentioned, the Titans. And then, of course, Sexton comes out and trashes it like crazy. And then Sarkisian afterwards, he's had two raises, two extensions already. He's not going to get another one. Based on his play calling and how all the people are howling at Austin that he needs to give it up, especially in the red zone, I do not see him returning to the NFL.
I think that's an agent doing agent things, and then he'll deny. Yesterday, the ending of the Jets and Bengals game, I mean, how heartbroken does Cincinnati fans need to be today? And Titans fans, because the guy that broke up that play at the end was, yet again, somebody they traded for nothing.
Well, first of all, I saw what Justin Fields said after the game, after his owner ripped him last week at the league meetings. And then he said it was the darkest period of his life. So I was happy to see him do that. I like Aaron Glenn. He finished his playing career with the Texans. He's a really good guy. So you knew the Jets weren't going to go unbeaten. I mean, they weren't going to go winless. And so they're going to win one sooner or later. Bengals are still terrible. It's a terrible way to lose a game like that you know you should have won.
John, how did Mac Jones look yesterday down in Houston? I know he's going to be the hot quarterback coming to the offseason. You saw him up close and personal yesterday.
Texans defense is real good, as the Titans know. And he only got sacked twice. He got knocked down six or seven times. He was off target on a lot. And overall, you wouldn't think that he wasn't nearly as good as he has been in winning five games. The Texans shut down Christian McCaffrey. He had 25 yards, averaged 3.1 a carry, shut him down as a receiver too. But when the offense controls the ball for over 41 minutes, you're not going to get many opportunities, and they didn't.
John, I know he's got a quarterback in Denver, but Sean Payton's got something going there. They look like they're having fun. The defense is good. The games are exciting. I mean, how good is this football team in Denver?
They lead the league in sacks. Bo Nix has been tremendous. He and Drake May have run away from the crowd, the pack, and of those quarterbacks who were so good last year. And they still got salary cap issues from Russell Wilson's contract, but their personnel department has been outstanding. They have guys they've drafted who've stepped up and developed, especially wide receiver. They got pass rushers, and Vance Joseph, their defensive coordinator, who used to coach with the Texans, he's doing an outstanding job, and Sean Payton's showing why he's an outstanding head coach. The Texans play them in Houston on Sunday, and I expect that to be a much tougher test for C.J. Stroud than the one he faced on Sunday with the 49ers, who only knocked him down twice and had no sacks.
John, once again, we are get to watch on the national TV landscape the Kansas City Chiefs, who seem like every week they're on Sunday night or Monday night football. How scary can they be if they finally wake up and put everything together? Because I think they're starting to do that.
They are starting to do that, Joe. They proved it lately. They're getting a lot of players back. Still don't have their rookie tackle, Josh Simmons. Nobody really knows what's happened to him, but he's disappeared. But they're playing great. Patrick Mahomes is playing great. And what I'm tired of, and there's nothing you can do about it, is all those nationally televised Bengals and Commanders games that we're seeing backup quarterbacks. Nothing is more boring than games with backup quarterbacks.
Right.
John McClain is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. What do you think about this matchup tonight?
I don't even know who's playing, to tell you the truth. Is it
Washington?
Is that Washington playing tonight against Kansas City?
Yeah.
Before the season, it looked great. You got two Super Bowl contenders. You got a great young quarterback, and you got one of the best in history. And right now, any of us believe that Marcus Mariota is going to engineer an upset of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Hey, he's done it before. He could throw a pass to himself. Who knows? You never know. But no, I don't think so. And I think the Chiefs have proven that they're back. So I would definitely take Kansas City in that one tonight. I want to ask you, and you tell me how much you can or can't talk about this, but I saw through all the Hall of Fame stuff that, you know, Bud has kind of moved into the next tier of where he needed to go when it comes to him being in the Hall of Fame. And I know Jim Wyatt wrote a really nice piece about that, and you've had a lot to do with that. But that was good to see Bud kind of take the next step in moving towards the Hall of Fame.
Well, he needs to take the next one. That's where he went last year. He got into the room where he was a finalist among the contributors. And so I've done everything I can do, sending out information to the voters. And if he gets into the next group, means we'll be talking about him when we have our Zoom in January. And I think that it's really hard for a contributor. He's up against Robert Kraft and Clint Murchison and Art Modell. Last year, he and Kraft were the only ones who became finalists, and both of them were eliminated quickly, and they've made it much tougher. The Hall of Fame has made it so much tougher for people to get in, and it hurts the contributors and the coaches.
I just, you know, and you've said this perfectly, but I just don't understand how you can't have somebody, you know, that when you ask the question, can you tell the story of the NFL without Bud Adams, the answer is no. Why he's not in the Hall of Fame? I mean, did moving the team piss people off that much?
No, that's never come up. If you go back, when I have made my presentation, I make it seem like Bud's career ended in 1970 as an owner, because he played he was an instrumental co-founder of the AFL. He saved the Jets, maybe the AFL, by trading Joe Namath to the Jets. He was one of the first to integrate. He had three black quarterbacks at one point, one of the first black executives. And I hit on all that and his role in helping get the merger. And then I stop, because if you go into it after that, too many people, they think about all the coaches he fired, how the teams were terrible. It never, and shooting fingers at the Bills and all kinds of things. And but the in our discussions, it never came up about moving the team, because almost every team in the NFL was moved at one time or another.
Absolutely. John, are all the original AFL owners in the Hall of Fame?
No, they're not. No.
I know. But who is it? Ralph Wilson's in. Al Davis is in. And there's one or two more, right?
Al Davis wasn't an original owner.
That's
was
right.
An assistant coach. And Ralph Wilson is in. Of course, Lamar Hunt is in. The Chargers owner, Baron Hilton, is not in. The Sullivan family's not in from Boston Patriots. So there's more not in than are in. And I think if an owner, the next one's going to get in. Robert Kraft's won 6 Super Bowls, and they're in the business to win. And I think he deserves to be in. And I tell them that you can't write the history of pro football without this person, and you definitely cannot write the history of pro football without Bud Adams. And I wish, if somebody asked me questions after the merger, you know, what can you say? He didn't go to the Super Bowl, but I point out he hired good people, won the first 2 championships. The third year, he lost in double overtime to Lamar Hunt's Dallas Texans. And so the idea is to try to get them to think about that.
John, is there one guy, I don't mean to put you on the spot, is there one guy that you think deserves being in the Hall of Fame that you know deep down probably will never get in? I always beat the drum for Too Tall Jones. I don't think he'll ever get in. Is there one person you'd love to see get in, but you know it's such a long shot?
When I get back on the senior committee, I'm going to start beating the drum for Too Tall, who I've gotten to know a little bit and found out a bunch of really good stats about him, that he was the only player at his position that did. A player that I think should be in was the best offensive lineman on one of the greatest offensive line in history that won 3 Super Bowls, and that was Joe Jacoby, their big left tackle,
yeah,
who also played right tackle. For some reason, we put guard Russ Grimm from the Hogs in before him. I don't know why we did, but Joe Jacoby's now in the senior group, and I think that he definitely deserves it. But he just doesn't get a lot of run in Washington. The teams, Charlie Cashley, the former GM, they do everything they can to let the voters know about his value. You know, there's other offensive lines that weren't nearly as good as the Hogs and certainly didn't win three Super Bowls, who have more members in the Hall of Fame than the Washington Redskins.
John, appreciate the time as always. We will talk to you next week.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much, as always.
Yes, sir. John McLean joining us here on the program as he does every Monday at 2. We'll get back into the Titans and the Roger McCreary trade. More of that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.